Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning and welcome to Thursday, August 28th, and we're back as always.
Yeah, good morning.
I always say that, don't I? But that's a good thing. I think every day we're alive and awake, it's a good day.
Yeah, definitely. You know?
I mean, some people, like in Judaism, there's a prayer in the morning to thank God for letting you wake up again in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's a prayer for everything. I mean, I don't know how people can live like this, just saying prayers all day, you know?
Right.
When do you have time to do anything else? That's the point. They don't. And then they don't work, and they don't go to the military in Israel, and people get really irritated with them, you know?
Right.
It's like, okay, you want to study Bible, go and study Bible, but why at our expense, you know? You're not really helping anybody. You're not contributing to society in any way. So do some work, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but some people are busy praying all day, so they don't have time to work.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of prayers, I think a lot of people are praying for Joan Rivers.
What happened?
You know who Joan Rivers is?
Of course.
Yeah. She was having surgery on her vocal cords and went into either cardiac arrest or respiratory arrest and was transferred to hospital. She was in critical condition. But Ken Baker of E! News just tweeted that she's in stable condition.
Oh, okay.
So she's now in stable, but she was in critical, and it sounded like it was a good couple hours that she was in critical condition.
Wow, I hope she doesn't have any brain damage or anything, you know, when you stop breathing. Now, so she was mid-surgery?
Yep.
And they had to take her to a hospital? I thought she was in a hospital already.
No.
For the surgery,
she wasn't.
No?
No, it was...
What was it, like a clinic or something maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't a big... Yeah,
yeah, it wasn't like a hospital or something.
No.
Yeah.
So then she had to get...
I hope she's okay.
Yeah.
How old is she now?
She's 86, I think I read.
81, 80. Actually.
Oh.
81. She'll be 86 in 5 years.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah. We can revisit in 5 years.
Oh, it's right here, 81, right in front of me. I knew I read 80-something. But I mean, for an 81-year-old,
she's still very energetic.
Yeah. And loud and kicking.
That's true, yeah. I know. When I'm thinking of my dad, who's 80 years old, he's going to be 81, and he's not functioning as well as she is, you know. Mm-hmm. So 80 can be either or, you know.
Right.
I mean, you can get there being healthy and energetic and everything, or you can have some kind of an illness, and then it's not so much fun, you know.
Yeah.
So...
And I mean, she got transported to a hospital in Manhattan. So she's in New York. She's not even
in LA.
LA, yeah.
Right. I think she's in New York quite a bit. I think she travels back and forth all the time. Does she live here or does she live in New York?
Well, she records shows in LA.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she lives here?
Yeah, because she does the Fashion Police on E.
Oh, okay.
And that's recorded in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. See, it's great to have you here because you know all these things, you know? I don't know anything about
all the kind of useless pieces of information. I'm good for that.
But it's information, nevertheless, you know?
That's true.
So we're going to, in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in who is a comedian and also wrote a book. And he seems to be like all over the place. He's a political comedian. And... that should be awesome. I don't know why they're coming in so loud from next door. You know, we have a studio next door, and it's never this loud before. I mean, usually it doesn't leak in that much, the sound, but it seems like they're almost in the same room with us.
Extra energetic today.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Maybe they're excited it's Thursday.
Yeah, maybe they're just extra loud, you know. It's not really the walls. Yeah, so we're going to talk to him in a few minutes. And getting ready for a long weekend. Did you make any plans yet? You're going up north, aren't you?
No, down south.
Oh, okay, down south. That's right, San Diego.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, you always have weddings and things like that everywhere.
It's crazy.
Yeah, either south, north,
yep,
everywhere. Huh? Everybody's getting married. What is it?
This is an engagement party.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, but I guess this is the age when many women get married, right?
Right.
Mid-20s and stuff.
Exactly. It's mid to late 20s.
Right.
Most of the people.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I know. I don't know what the rush is, you know. I mean, but if they really feel they have to get married, let them, you know.
Yeah.
Some people get married for the wrong reasons, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think, I think 25, 26 is still kind of early to get married, I think, in these days.
Yeah.
You know. So, I mean, I waited till I was 27. But then again, I was a man. But I think as a woman, well, I guess 25 is okay.
Yeah, and it tends especially, I mean, my boyfriend's a lot older than me. Mm. Well, not a lot, but he's older than me.
Yeah. What's a lot to you? How many years?
He's 30.
He's 30 and you're 23.
Yeah.
So that's he's 7 years. Yeah, that's quite a bit for a 23-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm an old soul.
Yeah.
I'm not a normal 23-year-old that goes out and parties all the time. I'm an older soul. And,
right.
Yeah.
So is he, like, ready to get married? Is he putting on the pressure at all?
No.
Good. Good. He better not, you know. Better know what he has, you know. You don't put pressure on people. That's the worst thing you can do, you know. And many people do that, you know. It's like, you know, marry me or else. You know?
Yeah, no, he would never do that.
Yeah.
But most women do tend to be younger than men these days. So I think that's why.
It always used to be that way.
Yeah.
But not by much, you know. I mean, usually I think 3-4 years is like, you know, average, I think, the difference. But yeah. So, you know, I mean, I got married at 27. We had a kid when I was 30. So, I still felt it was kind of early, you know, when I look back and stuff. But I guess these are the best years for having babies and raising them and stuff, you know. You still have a lot of energy and, you know.
Definitely. Because it's a show, Housewives of Orange County. But, I mean, this lady, she's called Tamara?
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't even know.
Tamara, maybe?
Tamara, that's it. Tamara. Okay. I was thinking, how do I not know? I watched this show. and, I mean, she's got to be late 40s, early 50s, and she just got married for the second time, and she wants a kid.
Really?
And
wow.
It's like, you're going to be 70 when your kid is going to college.
Right.
Yeah. That just seems old to me.
It does.
But everyone
it does.
To their own, I guess.
Yeah, I know. You know, I mean, I wouldn't mind having a kid right now. I really wouldn't. But I don't think I would have the energy, really, to run after the kid all the time and all that. And, yeah, I mean, they would have old parents, you know. Mm-hmm. No child wants old parents. And but, you know, I suppose you can always adopt or something, you know. I mean, but to have a baby...
And I don't think
age.
Your body, a woman's body at like late 40s, early 50s is supposed to reproduce.
Right. I think it's very dangerous at that point, right? They probably
mm-hmm.
have to stay in bed for months and things like
that.
Yeah. It's not worth it. I don't know why. And she probably has kids, right? This
she
is
has,
her second marriage?
Yeah. She has 2 or 3.
Oh, okay. Well, that's enough for her, you know?
Yeah.
You want babies, wait for your grandchildren, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And one of her sons is about to have a kid. So that would
really?
Be really weird.
Yeah, I know.
If she was having a child and her son, and they would grow up together.
Right.
When one of them would be the other one's aunt.
Yeah.
Or
I know.
Uncle.
It does happen, I think.
Yeah.
You know? Especially in movies, but I think it happens in real life, too. If you watch Jerry Springer or something.
Oh, my
all
gosh.
All these people have the greatest stories to tell.
Yeah.
You know?
It's Jeremy Kyle in England. I think he's now over in America, but I used to love watching that.
Really?
Now I'm like, how
so that
did
was
I watch
like a
it?
Crazy
it's so
show.
Depressing. It wasn't as crazy as Jerry Springer. It
really?
Wasn't like fighting, but it was those depressing stories.
Yeah.
And my mom would say, how do you watch that? It's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's so depressing.
But it's
but
like
I would
watching,
love
watching a train wreck, you know?
Yeah.
To see how people make fools of themselves
right.
and stuff, you know? It's... It's unbelievable what people will do. But there's something in a story in England that is like blood curdling, you know. I don't know if you heard of this, little town in northern England, and it's called Rotherham.
Yeah, I know where that is.
Okay, well, they just found out that they revealed 1,400 cases of appalling sexual exploitation over the past 12 years in that town. Wow. 1,400, and nobody reported it. They're saying that social counselors look the other way, and this has just been uncovered. So, you know, I mean, for victims as young as 11 years old, abuses included gang rape, trafficking, beating, threats at gunpoint. I mean, imagine putting a child through any of these things.
Wow.
You know, and so you do all these things.
And it says by Asian gangs.
What's that?
It says by Asian gangs.
Yeah, they're saying, I didn't realize it was Asians. They just said that some of the people that committing this were ethnic groups, minorities. So
It says on the Telegraph that it was, that's the headline, by Asian gangs. So I don't know if it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So that's probably what it is, you know.
Yeah.
In CNN, they only wrote ethnic minorities. And they're saying that the communication, I guess maybe some of the counselors were afraid to create, like, to be branded racists, you know. So I guess they just didn't, you know. But how
it
do you
allow here that in some cases, parents who tried to rescue their children from abusers were arrested themselves, and police officers even dismissed the rape of children by saying the sex had been consensual.
For a child?
Yeah.
Wow. And this is the authorities saying that?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's like major, major corruption there.
This has got to be all over the news in England. I'm surprised my mom hasn't said anything to me.
No, I'm sure it is. It's in the news here. And, I mean, this is between 97 and 2013, and they're saying it's a conservative estimate. So 1,400 cases. How does something like this not become like a big deal, you know?
Well, Downing Street has commented, so I'm guessing it's going to be in. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal, you know. Girls as young as 11 were raped by large numbers of male perpetrators. You know, is there a better way to kill a person's soul? I don't think so. Not a more effective than this. Destroy these kids, destroy their lives. You know, I mean, the hardest, most serious punishments should be handed out to these people. They should be castrated.
Yeah. There's other towns and cities, Rochdale, Derby, and Oxford, that it's also happened in.
Oh, really?
And they're currently dealing with 32 live investigations in Rotherham. And that's just from the past 12 months, and 15 people have been prosecuted so far.
Wow.
But, I mean, they need to be prosecuting the police.
Uh-huh.
Who kind of turned a blind eye.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're saying that mostly Pakistani heritage, you see, and they bring their shit over to Europe. Remember, I was telling you about this yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what happens. You know, you try to be politically correct, and you let people in the country, and this is what they do. This is what they do. They destroy you from the inside because these people are back in the Stone Age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They rape and molest their own women, their own girls, and then they go to England and they do the same thing there. You know, but how 1,400 people? I would imagine if there are many Pakistanis in this town, maybe some of the social workers are of the same descent as well, and kept from saying anything.
Yeah,
I don't know. Okay, well, here's our guest, so we're going to take this call. And good morning, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Jimmy Dore. How are you, Sam?
Good, Jimmy. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm here to talk about my new book, correct?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. It's Jimmy Dore. Is that how you pronounce it?
That is correct.
Okay, sounds good. I wasn't sure if it's Dory, because I know someone spelling their name like this, and it's Dory. So I
I'm not French. I'm Irish.
You're Irish. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how long
have
you been?
So I wrote this book. The book is called Your Country's Just Not That Into You, Sam. And people ask me where the title came from, and I say, people don't know. I don't talk about this in the book, but I come from a big family. Uh-huh. There's 12 kids in my family.
Wow.
And people say, that's a true story. That's the real thing, and I'm the youngest. And they go, you learn a lot. People say you learn a lot about life growing up in a big family. And I think the biggest thing I learned is I'm easily replaced. right? Like, I knew if I died, it wasn't going to put a big dent in their plan. You know what I mean? I can't imagine my mom sitting around, oh, no, Jimmy's dead. What am I going to do now with just the 11 of you? So I have a pretty good sense, Sam, of when people aren't that into me, which is why I wrote the book.
Right.
And it's really about the people who run the country. Now, it's not your elected representatives. It's the people who George Carlin used to refer to as the owner class, right?
Right.
So the people who own everything, and they don't really care about you. They're not that into you. And in fact, they give us a false choice in people who run our country. I'll give you a perfect example. The last presidential election was between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, and I was important, if you remember, because if Mitt Romney would have won, we would have got Romney Care, but Barack Obama won, so we got Romney Care.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That's the point of the book. I talk about real issues that affect real people, but I do it in a comedic way, and I point out the absurdity of the way the owner class has been screwing us over, right? So the subtitle is How Media, Wall Street, Both Political Parties Keep on Screwing You Even After You Moved On.
Yeah.
And so that's a perfect example of the fake choice that we have as American citizens. And we've turned into kind of a banana republic where our leaders are only responsive to their donors.
They're not
responsive to their voters. And that's what I talk about in the book, all about that. Plus, I take a lot of shots at the media. I love making fun of it because the mainstream news media, Sam, is what really has let us down. It's an important function in a democracy. In fact, journalism is one of the three professions named in the Constitution, and the Fourth Estate has let us down because it used to be that newsmen like 60 Minutes, and they used to be the watchdog, right? They were the watchdog. They would keep an eye on corporations and the government, and they would make sure they didn't get too cozy and that everybody was working for our best interest. But what happened was the criminals, meaning the corporations, they got smart. And they decided, hey, why don't I just buy the watchdog? And they did. So now the corporations who used to buy just the politicians are now buying the watchdog, and they own the major news media. And how does that affect you? Well, let's take Brian Williams, for example. Everybody likes him. I like Brian Williams. He's really likable, and he's the number one newsman in America. And he was on Jimmy Fallon the other night, and he said, you know, Jimmy, I do the news the way you do comedy. He goes, I like to play it right down the middle. And that just turned my stomach because, you know, Brian, I didn't know there was two sides to the truth.
Mm.
What do you mean play it down the middle?
Right.
He says, well, I mean, what if he was a journalist in England where they have three political parties, Sam? How do you play it down the middle then?
Right.
So my point is that the media has been failing us. They pretend that repeating talking points by Democrats and Republicans is reporting, and that's not reporting. Saying you play it down the middle is mistaking neutrality for objectivity. We need a news media that is objective, not neutral. So when the biggest issue of our day, which is global warming, you bring on a global warming scientist and you bring on somebody who doesn't believe in global warming and you pretend like there's a debate. There's not a debate. You couldn't report the sports like that. You couldn't say the Pittsburgh Pirates played the Chicago Cubs last night. The Cubs said they won. The Pirates said they won. Who won? I guess we'll never really know. You decide. So the thing that matters the least in our culture, which is sports, gets reported accurately. But the things we really need reported on don't get reported because the corporation owns your newsman. Brian Williams, the biggest story of the last decade was the Iraq War, right? The Iraq War was the biggest story. Brian Williams every night brought on generals from the military to tell us what was happening in Iraq. What he didn't tell us is those generals were being paid by defense contractors, so they weren't giving us the straight dope. In fact, we were being misled, which is how we ended up in an illegal war in Iraq. And Brian Williams, when that story broke, that all the experts he was bringing on his news show to tell us the straight dope, that they were on the take, he never talked about it. So the biggest story of the last decade, the number one newsman in the country, was on the take from defense contractors, and we missed that story. He misinformed us. And my question is, how many checks do you take from a defense contractor before you stop calling yourself a journalist in the middle of a war?
People don't
realize this, that guys like Brian Williams, who we all love, has let us down horribly, in fact, to the point where we were in an illegal war and there's $3 trillion in a hole in Iraq, and you're sitting at home and your government says they don't have any money to hire teachers, cops, and firemen to repair bridges, and that's how Brian Williams affects you, because his bad reporting has led to evil to flourish in our culture. Okay, I'll stop talking.
Okay, well, that's fine. I mean, you go ahead and run the show. I'll just listen. But no, okay. I wanted to ask you, is there a news outlet that you actually trust?
You know, the news I trust is online, and I go to, for instance, there's a place called the Young Turks, which now I work with them, but the reason I work with them is because I saw them online, and I reached out to them, and I wanted to work with them. The Young Turks gives you the straight dope. They're the ones who told me all about the banking meltdown. They predicted it years before it really happened, and it's so funny that I got that news on the internet. But nobody in the major mainstream news media told me about it. So it's funny that a comedian like me knew that the housing bubble was happening, but Bernanke didn't know it, and Barack Obama didn't know it, and George Bush didn't know it. So that's where I go for my news is I go online. The number one place I go is the Young Turks. But then I go to the British media too, the Guardian, the BBC, because if you get the, because they're not owned by corporations, right? Mm. The BBC is owned by the people in England.
Right.
So that's the thing. NPR here in America is also very compromised. I don't know if you, last time you listened to NPR, but how many commercials do you run for a bank and still call yourself a public radio station?
That's true.
So public radio is not really public anymore. And so the only place you can really go is online. And that's where I go. I go to YouTube. I go to England. I go to BBC. Where do you get your news from, Sam?
CNN mostly, and newspapers, Wall Street Journal and USA Today mainly. Are those compromised, all of them?
Well, in my opinion, they're 100% compromised, you know. So, in fact, let's take a newspaper like the New York Times.
Right.
They didn't even decide to call what we did torture, because we ordered war crimes. Barack Obama admitted it a couple weeks ago. He came out on the news and said we tortured some folks. Not that he's going to prosecute anybody. That's not going to happen. But guess what? If you're a black kid in New York and you've got a joint in your pocket, you're going to get your head fracked and you're going to get arrested. But if you order a war crime or carry one out, nobody's ever going to get prosecuted, because your country is just not that into you. Because the people who ordered the war crimes are the people who ordered the war. They're the military-industrial complex. And that's the people who run the country: Wall Street, the military industrial complex, and General Electric. It's not run for your interest or my interest. And so to me, New York Times wouldn't even call torture until 2 weeks ago. They were like, hey, they used to call it enhanced interrogation techniques, which is exactly what the government told you to do. Mm-hmm. And that's not being a journalist. That's not reporting when all you do is parrot what the government told you to say. In fact, that's the opposite of reporting. Let's remember what they say reporting is supposed to be. Reporting is saying something that makes someone else unhappy. That's what journalism is. If someone's not upset, you're not doing your job right.
Sounds good. Go ahead.
Sorry, is that why you believe that the system is rigged, quote-unquote?
Oh, the system is definitely 100% rigged. Right now, we're in the middle of, you know, corporations are making record profits, right now. And but people, we have the biggest income disparity since the Gilded Age. And let's remember, Mark Twain said the Gilded Age was when everything looked okay on the surface of society. There was a little sprinkling of gold, but underneath, everything was thick. And that's exactly what's happening right now. We're living in a time of record corporation profits, and 50% of all wage earners in America earn less than $30,000. 50% of all wage earners in America earn less than $30,000. So we haven't been experiencing the success of our corporations, which are not reinvesting back in our economy. You know, we all know that the corporations are sitting on $5 trillion. They're not investing it in our economy. And they say it's because they don't have confidence in our economy. And you know what I say, Sam? If $5 trillion doesn't give you confidence, I would try dance lessons.
There you go. That could probably help, huh? Jimmy, so obviously...
So that's what I talk about in the book. It's called The Country's Just Not That Into You.
Right.
I like to take down I break it down for you how... You know what's funny, too, and I really do blame our corporate media, is that, you know, in the middle of the biggest reaming we've ever gotten from the military-industrial complex and Wall Street, the corporate media has tricked us into being angry at people who are poorer than us, people on welfare, immigrants, teachers. You know, I always say, if you find yourself being angry at someone lower on the economic ladder than you, there's a pretty good chance you're being manipulated by someone higher on the economic ladder than you. Like my brother, who watches too much Fox News and listens to too much AM radio, he's angry at people on welfare. He thinks they're all scammers. He goes, yeah, they've rigged the system. I go, yeah, Danny, they rigged the system. So now they're the poorest people in this state. Woo, they're really good at that rigging. I'm so angry at the fat cats at the bottom. Oh, God darn it. So that's what's wrong, I think, with this country, right?
Yeah.
People like that who turn to the media for information get misled into angry. We're angry at immigrants. We're angry at immigrant children. And I say, what have immigrant children ever done for America except everything?
Yeah, well, I guess, but not illegally. You know, so there's a place to argue there. Nobody's against immigrants, I think, against illegal immigrants. But listen, Jimmy, just a couple questions about you. You're calling us from L.A. today, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and I see you have a book signing today?
Oh, tonight I have one in Pasadena at Vroman's Bookstore.
Okay.
That's at El Molino and Colorado Boulevards in Pasadena. So it's 7 p.m. tonight. I hope everybody... Where are you guys located?
Sounds good. We're in Sherman Oaks in the Valley.
Oh, fantastic.
That's not, yeah, not very far from there at all. And Vroman's is a classic historic bookstore. It's been there for a long time. So this
yeah,
is
been
cool.
There for, yeah, been here forever, and everybody does their book signings there. Bill Clinton was there, Jimmy Carter... Hillary
Very
Clinton
cool.
was there, and so I have a lot of people go to the Vroman's Bookstore to sign their books. I'm really delighted that they asked me to do a book signing there.
Awesome. And the book, is it out yet, or is it coming
yes,
out?
Yes, it is currently out. It is available everywhere. You can get it at Amazon. It's an iBook, so you can get it at iTunes if you do that. So it's available everywhere.
That sounds great, man. I mean, yeah. Congratulations to you for all that. I mean, obviously, you have a lot to say. You're very passionate about it. And I see you also do stand-up. Can we see you around town?
Oh, yeah. So I do stand-up comedy all the time. I've been a comic for 25 years. I got a couple of Comedy Central specials out. And so you just check my Twitter feed or go to jimmydorecomedy.com, and, you know, you can catch my local shows. They usually come up, you know, weekly. So I'll let you know.
Sounds great. Jimmy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everybody go out, get the book. Your country is not that into you. And go out and get the book signed tonight at Vroman's in Pasadena.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's been a real pleasure.
The same here, Jimmy. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Very passionate guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, sometimes people can take charge of the show and you just sit back and listen, you know. No, but it's cool, you know, because people have, I mean, that's his style, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how he rolls, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool. He should probably have a talk show or something, you know.
I think he does.
Yeah, I think he has a podcast or something,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, he could probably be on TV or something, you know. He's I would go and watch him, check him out. I mean, he's pretty energetic and
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, definitely.
You know. Maybe I'll go check him out. Yeah, go to jimmydorecomedy.com and you can find out more about him and the book and everything. So, yeah, so we left off with this England horrible story. And it makes my blood boil because it's the same story every time. You get all these people coming from countries that are in the Stone Age and they bring all their shit over to decent countries, and they make everything terrible.
This isn't just about those people, though. This is obviously about the authorities.
The authorities as well, but that's what I'm saying.
I think that's the worst part, that they've turned a blind eye on something so serious.
No, absolutely. But, I mean, the perpetrators still are... I think they should be hanged, all of them, because they killed people. They killed souls. And... I don't know any more heinous crime than abusing a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, there's no excuse. There's no excuse at all, other than just a bunch of horny men that are denied by the religion sexual pleasure. So they go and they molest and rape and destroy because of that. You know, just put some strip clubs over in Pakistan. See how the rape rate is going to go down quite a bit. You know, give them some outlet, give them some anything. But when you live a life of denial, you deny yourself everything, that's what happens. You know, that's the same thing with all these priests molesting the children. Again, priests are expected to deny their own urges, and that's what happens. You can't deny being a human being. You know, you're driven as a human being. You need to be intimately and sexually involved and things like that. And if you're not, you go and you abuse people, mm-hmm. you know. And so in every religion you have that. It's not just a religious thing, but it's more a cultural thing, right. you know. And not to say that this couldn't happen in England with British people, but the fact is that it didn't. It happened in a small Muslim community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. So it's all the politically correct thing, and people probably look the other way to say, so people won't blame them for being racist and everything, you know. Yeah. So that's that, you know. I mean, how do you live with this? I mean, what did the parents do? I mean, what did anybody do?
Yeah.
Nothing. Nobody did a mm-hmm. thing.
Well, the parents were getting arrested themselves.
Really?
The people that were coming forward, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So this is the same as it is back in their country, you know? It's like the victim is being blamed for the crime.
Everything's being covered up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I know. I don't, you know, I mean, what Jimmy was saying is correct about, you know, the news media and everything, but I think if you watch news coverage with a filter on, then you're okay, you know, and get your source from 2-3 different places.
I think the problem is that people stick to
the
news
one.
Source that they like.
Exactly.
And it kind of brainwashes you. I agree with them to think a certain way.
That's true.
I mean, with the whole Gaza Israel problem, I mean, from what some of the news stations are saying, you kind of want to side with Gaza.
Yeah.
Which, when you look into it, probably it's like, how?
Right.
How? Yeah. Like, Israel...
Because they were showing the dead civilians.
Exactly.
Which was the aim of Hamas in the first place.
Exactly.
And
so,
in a way,
they're winning because of what the media is saying.
Exactly. So that's the media and stuff. That's why I'm saying, you know, you got to go to different sources and see what's going on and decide for yourself, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And... you should definitely examine what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, most people tell you, oh, you know, the Israelis are right, may not be that way. So you should investigate for yourself and see if that's true or not. The fact remains that now, because of this war that was started by Hamas, now Gaza is having to rebuild itself all over. And these people don't have money anyway. So the funny thing is that in the end, Israel ends up paying for a lot of this stuff, you know. So you can't imagine how many Palestinians actually work in Israel, are given work permits and everything, and they live nicely, you know. And it's just that when their leaders start with those wars, with this hatred, with this like nonstop, that's what happens, you know. But you're right, you know. I mean, listening to the news, to some news outlets, you would sympathize with the perpetrators, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And now the whole issue with ISIS that seems to come out of nowhere, and that's the Islamic State movement that's taken over Syria and Iraq, and they're proven to be the worst of all of them,
right.
even Al Qaeda and stuff, because these people actually want to create an Islamic State. In the entire Middle East, probably the world, you
right.
know, that's if they could, if they mm-hmm. had their way. And what many people don't realize is that that's how Islam was spread, was by the sword, you know. They would start with Muhammad and his followers and stuff. And this is not something I'm making up. It's in the Quran, you know. I mean, it's part
right.
of history. And he and his followers would ride their horses from town to town, from village to village, and force people either to convert or to die. And they've reached quite far, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. they had all of northern Africa, they've reached Spain, Turkey, you know, many of these places. And to this day, these places are still Muslim, you know, in many ways. So but the interesting thing also is that there was a time in Europe where it was like the Gilded Age, where the Muslims were actually keeping everything going, You know, they were getting along with people. They were actually building things and creating a culture. Not like today where they're destroying everything.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are married.
I was about to bring that up.
Yeah, I figured you should probably bring it up. But
yeah, they got married in France.
In France, yeah.
Finally.
I know. What, 10 years later or something that they've been together? Almost a decade, they're saying.
And they have...
Six kids.
Yeah, 13-year-old, 11-year-old, 9-year-old, 6-year-old, 8-year-old, and 6-year-old.
Wow. That's a lot of kids, man. How do they find time? That's probably why they haven't been in movies lately. Yeah. You don't see them in many movies. Mm-hmm. But still, actually, they have been. They have made a couple of movies. And it's interesting how they, you know, they still have time to make movies with all these kids. And also, interestingly enough, I don't know why they haven't married all this time. I mean, do you know what
well,
the reason
would, was? Well, they were waiting till same-sex marriage was legalized. That was their first...
Why?
I don't know. What does that have to do with anything? I don't know. I don't know.
The way
I'm
to protest?
But I'm still team Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah?
I'm still sad that they broke up.
Really?
Because basically he cheated on her with Angelina Jolie.
That's true, yeah.
And I just love Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people feel bad for her.
Yeah.
But she's married now, right?
I don't know if she is. I don't know. There's always rumors that she's... I mean, every other week she's in the magazine.
That's true.
Saying she's pregnant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And she's still not pregnant,
right?
Still
haven't seen her have a kid
yet. Oh, wow. I know. We seem to be fascinated with these people. And
I don't think she's married, though.
No, they're probably engaged or something. Because I remember something happening recently where people were happy for her.
Yeah, she is engaged.
Engaged?
To Justin Ther... I can't see the rest of his name. Theroux.
It's probably a French name, so it's got an X in the end, but you don't pronounce it.
I saw this video this morning where it was on Jimmy Kimmel. Jennifer Aniston was there, and he had recreated the set, the kitchen of the Friends, in Friends, and had a script, and Jimmy Kimmel was Ross, and it was so funny. Courtney Cox and... I don't know Phoebe's real name. Phoebe came onto the set, too, and they were all reading lines, and it was so funny.
Right.
I shared it on Facebook. I loved it.
Yeah. Is it Courtney Cox, Phoebe?
No.
No?
Courtney Cox is Monica.
Okay. So that was Lisa Kudrow, maybe?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah. Because I never watched the show, but I know the actors.
I watch it almost every night.
I know. You told me about
it. I love it.
That's cool.
I never get bored. Never get bored of it.
Yeah. Because it's cool to have friends, you know. I mean, it's like something where you wish you could have something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Good friends and things like that, I know.
And they're just all so funny, and they have different... They all have different personalities, and they bring something different to the table, and it's just hilarious.
That's true. Oh, yeah, it says right here, Friends Reunion and Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yeah.
When was that?
I don't know when the episode aired. I'm guessing it was pretty recently.
Okay, yeah,
I would say in the last week.
That's probably why it's in the news. It's just a video, so I probably won't get any information.
It's 8 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's a long video just to prepare you.
Yeah, no, I know. Sometimes I want to go into an article and I see it's just a video and I'm going, you know, because they won't even give you a word next to the video. It's just you have to watch the video.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, they're showing here the Robin Williams estate, $30 million house. Did you see it?
No, I
haven't.
It
looks like a mansion, of course. I don't know. Where did he live? Did he live out here or in the east, on the east coast?
I don't know. I'm guessing he lived out here.
Mm, maybe Malibu or something.
Yeah. I'm guessing so.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know where he was living. But it's it's such a sad thing, you know.
Napa Estate, so Napa Valley.
That's right.
He was up north. I had a feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he would have felt the earthquake if he had been alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. There's some. I'm telling you, it's like $30 million. You know, you wonder. You wonder what people do with all the money they make? Well, there you go, you know. Mm-hmm. $30 million house. How is that possibly okay when there's somebody who lives like in a studio apartment? You know? I mean, how can life be like so different for people?
Right. You know? It says that his three children are going to get a massive amount of money. But what about his wife?
Yeah, what about her? She's probably going to get a lot, too, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. All his wives. Wasn't this like his third or something?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'd been married a few times. But, the stuff that he had going on, it's hard to imagine. But I also can't understand. I mean, even if you, in your lowest moments, you got to think, hey, I'm Robin Williams, you know?
Right.
I mean, there's got to be some kind of an answer for this.
He'd said... when he signed the contract to do The Crazy Ones, which got canceled, but that right. was on CBS. He's like, the idea of having a steady job is appealing. I have two other options: go on the road doing stand-up or do small independent movies working for scale, which is minimum union pay.
Right.
But it's like, how much money have you earned that those are your options? Like, to go on the road and do stand-up? I don't...
Yeah.
I mean, I think he would have been fine if he hadn't have done...
The series?
But maybe, I don't know, maybe he spent all his money.
Who knows? Yeah, but it's hard to imagine having to go on the road. No, maybe he was just joking or something. Yeah, I can't imagine.
Well, he said, there's bulls to bay. My life is downsized in a good way. I'm selling the ranch up in Napa. I can't afford it anymore.
Oh, wow.
So that was what he said when he was alive.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. So maybe he had some financial issues maybe to deal with. You see, that's the thing. We never know, you know. You just... you just see things and you think everything's cool and pretty and okay and wow, they're having the time of their lives, but you don't see what's behind, you
right.
know.
Right. And usually the more money that you have, the more problems you have.
Yeah, that's true, because more people want to take it away from you.
Right.
Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Easy target.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So... Also, I guess, prescription drugs have been a problem as far as abuse and everything. And it's like one of those quiet problems, because people figure if I get my drugs from a doctor, then it's got to be okay, you know. And this is medicine, it's medication. But people are forgetting they're taking painkillers that are only meant to be used a couple times.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start using those. And, yeah, I can see that. I can see how you'd be addicted to something like that. I remember when the dentist once gave me some codeine or something, and it felt just so cool. I felt so at peace and stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, I like this, you know. So I called back, asked for some more. And then I realized, you know, it's going to sound weird if I keep calling and asking for codeine. So I just stopped, and that was it. I mean, I only did like maybe got two prescriptions of 10 each or something,
right.
you know. But apparently this doctor decided that in Santa Barbara that he's going to dispense medication to everybody who wants one. And they call him the Candy Man. And apparently he would write prescriptions for massive numbers of pills, hundreds, even thousands at a time. I mean, how can you possibly go to a pharmacy and show him a prescription like that for 1,000 pills?
Obviously, that's why it's raised awareness.
Probably. I mean, something must have happened, you know. But they're saying at a nearby hospital, emergency room doctors noticed a pattern and sensed a problem, you know. So apparently maybe they've seen too many people coming into the emergency room with these problems,
right?
Overdosing or something on these pills, and they realize something's going on. So I guess this guy, this 27-year-old just died after taking some of these drugs. I guess the doctor prescribed him more than 2,000 pills in 6 weeks. Before his death.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, how can he possibly prescribe this? You know, okay, let's say you're a doctor. You want to do somebody a favor. They want a few pills or something. But how do you dispense 2,000 pills and expect them to be okay? I mean, how can you become a doctor being that stupid?
Yeah, well, he's going to be under manslaughter charges. So.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Wow.
And maybe even murder. Mm-hmm. Maybe even murder, because he could have, he should have known, maybe not first degree murder, but he should have known.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, he gave him, like, the weapon. It was the same thing with Anna Nicole Smith, remember, when she was given the drugs?
Yeah.
And they tried to figure out who it was, and they tried to blame them. I don't know if they ever got convicted or not.
Those cases always seem to get swept under the rug.
Yeah, I know, I know. We don't hear about it anymore. But it's a terrible thing, you know, and people have to understand, man, that if you start to like your painkillers too much, it's time to talk to your doctor.
Right.
You know,
if
don't
to rely on them.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's easy to get them for a while until your doctor picks up on it.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
Yeah, but with most doctors it's hard to get anyway, you know, which is a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
But you know, many people, you know, and that's another thing, is that many people that are pharmacists get addicted to this stuff. And doctors, you know, because they have easy access to
right.
it. And, I've heard several times, yeah, the doctors and pharmacists and nurses, they have problems with these things. They're also people, and they're vulnerable to these things.
Right.
Yeah.
That 9-year-old girl that shot
shot the Uzi and killed the trainer.
Yeah,
yeah.
Apparently, you can shoot a gun at 5 years old.
Really?
That's what they said on the news last night. So, according to Jimmy, I don't know how credible that is.
No, come but, on, come on. It can't be. It can't.
But
be.
Yeah, 5 years old.
Apparently. It can't be. A 5-year old goes to kindergarten.
As long as you have. I think you have to have parental consent. But the trainers are taught to hold the gun and make sure that the backfire doesn't do what happened.
Right.
So obviously he'd been, it was like over 15 years that he'd been a trainer.
Right. He stood in the wrong place, apparently, they say. So go figure. But you know what? Whoever made that law that allows 5-year-olds, I don't think, it sounds like a joke to me, you know? This was from Jimmy Kimmel, you said?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying Jimmy because of the news.
Okay.
Our guest. But no, this was just on, I don't know, it was ABC News last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy, huh?
It is. It
like
is.
Five
I can't
years
believe
old?
It. Yeah. They had it here in the news. I wanted to look at it and see, but suddenly it disappeared. But, wow, I can't believe this. I mean, why? Why would you give anybody a gun, for crying out loud, and before they're like 18 years old?
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I agree. I think there should be, yeah.
Even 18 is immature, you know.
Yeah.
That's why they want to raise, what age? Drinking age is already 21 everywhere, isn't it?
It's 16, but, it's 18 in England.
Yeah.
Or are you talking about just America?
Yeah, just America, yeah. And they were thinking of raising that in some places, but it's definitely 21. Oh, I think somebody wanted to raise it to 25 from 21.
I think that's just so unrealistic.
Saying 21s are not mature yet.
So
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, that's enough for one day, right? We beat the news to death. Thank you, Jimmy Dore, for calling in. Everybody check out JimmyDoreComedy.com. That's D-O-R-E, JimmyDore.com, or JimmyDoreComedy.com. The book, Your Country Is Just Not That Into You, signing tonight at Roman's at Pasadena, and performing around town. And I think he's worth checking out. Maybe I'll go
too.
To some of his stand-up stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Charlotte, thank you.
Thank
as
you.
Always. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.